Blog Talk Radio.
Smart Sound.
Good evening and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen, Studio A. Over at Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, it turned out to be a beautiful day today, I have to say.
Yes, Valentine's Day, if you will, and temperature up there, though it's going to kind of drop back. Oh man, winter hasn't left yet, but it was a beautiful day here in the upper Midwest. We would be remiss if we did not send our prayers to Parkland, Florida, just north of Miami. 17 now confirmed dead. 12 in a variety of conditions, from critical to non-life threatening. Whatever that means, you got a bullet in you, a 223. You and I know those 223 bullets, you know, supersonic, if you will. So we've got that. We've got an update, Don, for our national and worldwide listening audience on Wilmer. It looks like, by the way, we want to once again welcome the sheriff and the BCA,
yes,
who have been listening in to our programs, if you will. It was determined in a series of conversations between the sheriff of Candelaria County and the brother of the deceased, who has been handling and been tenacious in his pursuit of justice for his brother. And in the course of that, lo and behold, we get information that indicates that the sheriff, as we said just seconds ago, the sheriff and the BCA and others have been listening to us. Some have
That's
been
wonderful.
Trying to say that we are just making stuff up and et cetera. We would probably have a little bit of information on the NAACP. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, you didn't cut me off. I just wanted to, I'd like to welcome the BCA and the sheriff there from Wilmer for tuning in. I'd just like to give them a hand, We appreciate that. Yeah.
There you go.
This is a Ron and Don show.
They've been listening in for the last month, ever since we first had Mr. Joseph Washington on from the Carolinas, if you will. Been some interest in, why he's being allowed to access the free airwaves.
It's definitely free.
Yeah.
Free here. Free airwaves.
There you go. We're not in the Soviet Union. You know, this is not Vladimir Putin. We'll give that phone number out, by the way, in case there's anyone that wants to call and raise any questions to us about the death of George Edward Washington on the 7th day of January of 2018. We are expecting a call from the Carolinas. I want to check the board to see if they're through. If not, I will give a breakdown of some of the latest developments, if you will.
Okay.
And then we can move on to some of the other issues. We're watching closely the grand jury proceedings that have been going on now for 2 weeks in the matter of Mohammed Nord, a Somali police officer from here in the Twin Cities, who was involved in July in the death of Justine Dorman. It appears that the county attorney is going for possibly murder in the second degree. With the grand jury. And so we've got that going. We've got Officer Hamilton of the Minneapolis Police Department, African-American, on trial for the careless discharge of his weapon back in 2016, early 2016. We had another city official found guilty yesterday in Ramsey County of careless driving kind of interesting because it led to the death of a 31-year-old mother of a 2-year-old child in an accident over in the area of St. Paul. We've got that. A lot of things going on, if you will, and people are concerned. There's been some firings in the Minneapolis city government. Velma Corbell involved in the firing of an employee for being a whistleblower in a situation dealing with the hotline. You remember the hotline they talked about in the summer of 2017?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That was going to be a tear-all.
And hate hotline. Yeah,
big hotline. And apparently a woman by the name of Johnson, article again, so they don't think that Don and Ron are just making it up, article front page of the Minneapolis Star Tribune this past weekend, and a woman was a whistleblower and was immediately fired on the orders of Ms. Corbell.
Wow.
Made some serious allegations with respect to cover-up, information, documentation being thrown in the waste paper basket, shredded. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what that is. But let me do this for our listening audience around the world, just a continued update. And if we get any call that looks like it's from outside, please interrupt me. But in the matter of the death on January 7th of George Edward Washington, we want to do a little bit of updating. Number one, contrary to discussions that took place within the NAACP, particularly the St. Paul chapter of the NAACP, a portion of the family of George Edward Washington did not reach an agreement and receive some kind of small amount of money in exchange for accepting the death of their brother, if you will. In discussions involving the NAACP a week or so ago, statements were made that the Washington family had reached a secret agreement with the sheriff of Kennedy, Ohio County, county administrator, county, and the county attorney to accept some kind of small generations, you know, in exchange for keeping quiet. Some members of the family on the other side of the family, if you know what I mean, the younger folks maintain that they were satisfied with the explanation by the sheriff's department, and that they were comfortable with that, if you will. That was kind of surprising. Also, we are informed that this is amazing, Don, that both the death certificate and the autopsy have not been released. Can you believe it?
Look, that's incredible. That is just, whew.
Yeah, death certificates are always, quickly taken care of and received and et cetera. And yet the word is, and now, like I said, we are hoping to get some kind of call from the family of George Edward Washington, on his sister or brother or, et cetera, to clarify, because civil rights leadership are saying that there's no need to pursue any investigation, if you will, because the family is satisfied with the explanation. And a lot of this took place once the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the BCA, became special advisors to the chief of the sheriff of the Kennedy, Ohio County Sheriff's Office, if you will, a little bit peculiar. But I got to tell you, I've been a long time since I've heard that a death certificate has not been issued in a situation and a death that is now 30 some days, into the past. Again, he died on the 7th of early morning of the 7th of January, you know, and you know, it's now.
Mr. Harris, it looks like we have a caller.
Oh, let's get them in. Maybe this is our the family members from South Carolina or the Carolinas. Yes, sir. Can we help you?
Yeah, call you live on the air.
You're live.
Okay, this is someone that just wants to listen, obviously. Okay.
Oh, okay, okay. So completing and carrying on, maybe that was the sheriff. Probably tuning in.
It's a 443 area code, and if it is sheriff, they're bouncing out of Baltimore, Maryland. So,
we should
remember when you.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, if they don't question for us, nothing we can do about it. We're looking for out of the Carolinas. So basically what has happened is that there is no death certificate. There is no autopsy, if you will. And I now must indicate that I had a discussion 2 days ago with the reporter for the Star Tribune, John Brennan, who wrote the article back on January 10th that talked about the death of George Edward Washington. And he told me a very interesting story, though he was not interested in talking to Joseph Washington, the younger brother of the deceased, who is really pursuing this. The Star Tribune told me in an exclusive conversation that they had requested via Freedom of Information all information pertaining to the death of Mr. Washington, and that the sheriff in Candy, Ohio County said they couldn't do that because they were still investigating the case. And so I did some checking, as we've been doing since we've been following this situation on this station. And I can't find anybody who has been interviewed by the Sheriff's Department or the BCA, you know, and there are a number of key witnesses, or in this case, the persons who have information. So the Star Tribune has basically taken the position that, you know, nothing they could do until the investigation is completed. So I'm not sure I'm not sure what that means and how it means and what it means to the pursuit of justice. But again, want to repeat that the Star Tribune says that they can go no further with the story because the sheriff told them that it was still under investigation. Now, in conversations with Joseph Washington, the brother of the deceased, he has indicated, I guess he's talked to the sheriff about 3 or 4 times. The most recent was probably a week ago tomorrow. And the sheriff's position is that everything is clean, and that there is no reason to be concerned, though this is the same sheriff and pertains to our conversation on this program 2 weeks ago. The sheriff thought that the body of the deceased had been cremated. Oops, it has not been. Custody of the deceased was taken by his family members and were flown to the Carolinas, and their examination was done, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of the update, if you will, with regards to the circumstances surrounding the death of George Edward Washington. With the BCA assisting the sheriff and making sure that that this does not go to any specific level of investigation. So, again, that phone, give that number out, Don, just in case maybe some relatives of the deceased wish to call in. I know that some of them are listening. So just shoot that number out for us. You still there, Don?
Yes, I am here. And that number is 347-426-3904. Again, the number is 347-426-3904.
All right, do we have some questions coming in on background? Some people asked some questions. Our policy here is if you have any questions, you have to ask them on the air.
Exactly. You got to call. You got to call me, and that's what I was. I'm sorry, Mr. Harris. I was taking a call that was in the queue, but wouldn't come on the air. And I said, you know, I really can't work like that. You're just gonna have to call in and talk to both of us at the same time. Period. So
that's the way it works. That's the way it works with the Don and Ron program, particularly in a situation like this where statements are being made that the family. I have been assured by the brothers and sisters of the deceased that there has been no arrangement, no agreement, no money paid out, and etc. So I'm saying that, and if there's someone in the queue or someone listening and they want to get additional confirmation or challenge or et cetera, the way that we do it here on the Don and Ron program, they'll have to call in and engage us in the conversation. I mean, that's the only way to do it because this is a very serious situation. It represents the facilitation of criminal activity, conspiracy, and et cetera. And so we're not here to play any games. Let me just complete for any representative of the NAACP that their statements that they were told by a member of the family that everything was okay was not any member that is a blood relative or sibling of George Edward Washington. And we were, like I said, we were hoping that there would be a call from Joseph Washington to clarify that because the civil rights leadership here has used information coming from those that are working with the sheriff, which is kind of sad, man. To indicate that there is no problem whatsoever and that, you know, people are just a bunch of crooks and et cetera, et cetera. So that's what it is. Moving on, any questions? The grand jury, that certainly has opened up. And in the case of Mohammed Nord, we are expecting a decision or certainly an announcement by the Hennepin County Sheriff, Mike Freeman, in the next 2 weeks. The word is that it could go as high as murder in the second degree, man, which, interesting enough, will enlighten and delight a lot of liberals, which is interesting because you would think that liberals here in our beloved state would be more of a mindset of fairness and et cetera. But even in the precinct station, in the 5th precinct in which Officer Nord was assigned at the time of the shooting last summer, there have been some, you know, scathing messages left on the blackboard in the training rooms and such things as that, talking in terms of, you know, people need to go back to Mogadishu, go back to Somalia, you know, references of name calling, vegans, and et cetera. And it appears that, you know, they haven't been able to get a handle on it out there. And there's only right now one Somali officer assigned to the 5th precinct. And for those that know the city of Minneapolis, we have 5 precincts, if you will. The 5th precinct is basically that area that the boundary is highway is 35, the city limits on the south, city limits on the west, and probably Grant Street and going to the north. That's basically the 5th precinct, if we will. Maybe a little bit further down nowadays, maybe down to 26th and let's say Nicollet. So the Somali officers, you know, every once in a while we would get a couple of Somalis that you would ask them, did they want to talk, and they would indicate that they were just in the queue. Maybe some of the Somalis that are listening in may want to ask the question, what's really happening, if you will. We have said on our national radio program, we say it on this program, that we would be most interested if, in fact, Mike Freeman, Don, is prepared to call the our fiancé of our of Justine, who was in New York City in his hotel room at the time of her death, and he received the call. But he did not receive the first call indicating the death of his fiance and who did it from any investigators. So, you know, the policy of the department is that only the investigators make the calls to of notification and a separate. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it also ties into conversations with her family in Australia and, get this, the office of the Prime Minister of Australia, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. And I got to tell you, man, some of the things that were said by people who are affiliated with the city of Minneapolis and the MPD were kind of foul. We're kind of really anti-Muslim, anti-Somali, anti-black. You know what I'm saying? And so phone line is open for that, too.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Edwards, do they understand the consequences or the impact that charging this young man, either rightfully or not rightfully? I'm not in the position to judge anything because I don't know the evidence. But what I'm saying is, say they do that, what is going to be the return? Is there going to be an uproar in the Somali community? I know the liberals are going to be happy, but...
Well, you've asked the question of the person that knows some of the evidence and the politics. The Somali community, if Noor is charged, are going to be very unhappy and will have a lot of questions with regards to why, if you will. If he is not charged, the politically astute, notice the word that I used, the politically astute so-called liberal base here in the Twin Cities will scream outrage and probably put pressure on the mayor, the new mayor-elect of the city, Jacob Fry, to, if nothing else, you got to remember now, the most recent case we had was Officer Yanis in the death mm-hmm. of Castile. And even though mm-hmm. a jury found in favor of the defendant, Officer Yanis, of the St. Anthony Police Department, you remember that he was forced to resign. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
In the case
yes.
of Officer, if let's say that narrative plays out here in the Twin Cities and Minneapolis, there will be pressure for Officer Noor to be fired, okay, even if he is
exactly.
exonerated by the grand jury and the county attorney chooses to bring no charges whatsoever. In other words, there's no true bill, and the county attorney closes off further investigation. Then the only thing that will happen will be a civil lawsuit. Obviously, the city is clearly going to be sued. Robert Bennett, the well-known attorney who basically, you know, handles primarily cases of police misconduct and white victims, and not black victims, will certainly mm-hmm. take up the matter of a civil suit for probably $3-5 million against the city of Minneapolis. Now, that lawsuit's going to come anyways, because if, in fact, the county attorney decides to, based on what he will say the grand jury has recommended to indict, the family of the deceased is still going to sue the city of Minneapolis, because the groundwork, Don, has been laid. There have been some real, some real dangerous allegations made behind closed doors, and then some have been made to the family and to some liberals here and even to the government of Australia that Mohammed Noor is a ISIS sympathizer.
Uh-oh.
Now, that's pretty ugly. That's pretty ugly.
Yeah.
And so, and it's one of the reasons that, I mean, we need to talk about it. Phone lines are open. You know, no one needs to be shy. Is that it's one of the reasons that the county attorney brought in 25 to 30 police officers. And most of them, their professional relationship with the department is as training officers or supervisors. And one of the allegations that was made in the summer of 2017 is that Officer Nord was not properly trained, that he was a part, and you and I as black men understand what this means, that he was a part of an affirmative action plan, and that he was not qualified intellectually or otherwise, and that he was given a pass on many different things. That's the reason that so many officers are being called in, again, 30 to 25. If you have, if you can have a couple of ringers within that 25 to 30, and they say that during the course of training Officer Nord, they overheard him in a fit of anger make statements that were derogatory against white Christians. You get where I'm coming from, Don?
Oh, yeah.
That would be enough emphasis, if you will, prima facie, to convince a grand jury to go along with what the prosecutor is directing them towards. Because in cases of grand juries here in the United States, I think we all know, the prosecutor really controls how that particular water, if you know what I mean. Prosecutor, you know, because you, quote-unquote, is the person who is the target of the investigation by the grand jury, you don't have any representation in there, okay? And contrary to what people may think, you cannot be in there unless you're called as a witness. And in the case of Muhammad Nord, in my long experience, his attorney did the right thing. And we've said that to some of our callers over the last month. His attorney did the right thing by having him remain silent. You cannot compel him in the United States. You may be in a country that has Norman law as opposed to Anglo-Saxon law. You cannot compel him to testify. And so those are a couple of items that are out there, if you will. And so it will be interesting. And certainly by the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th of March, I think we're going to clearly know where this is going. That's my take. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
We have a call. Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead. Yes, you're live on the air.
Yes, sir. Caller. Go ahead. Speak up. We need to speak up. Can we help you?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah, go right ahead, caller.
This is Joseph Washington. I was on here the last couple of weeks.
And Mr. Washington. We just kind of got through talking about you. Welcome. We're glad you could get in. Your voice is a little off. I don't know if we can tone up the dials, but I had raised a couple of questions based on my conversations with you and others. Glad to have you call in. I have a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
First of all, I have already indicated that I have been made aware by you and your representatives that you do not have the autopsy or the death certificate. Is that correct? Am I correct on that?
That's a good analogy. Every venue that we go to try to request it, it's a stonewall about it. And so I had to have a family member to pay for one. Was almost this Friday here would be 2 weeks. She paid me for it to get a death certificate. We have not as of today. I just got off the phone with a conference call with my family. That's what took me so long to call. We're not to the day we have not received a death certificate or autopsy.
All right, reception is kind of bad from wherever you are. I know Mr. Allen is working on the machinery, but let me repeat it. So there's absolute clarification. I asked the question, had you received the death certificate you indicated that a member of your family had sent off for the death certificate and had offered the state of Minnesota to pay for the death certificate. But as we speak tonight, you have still not received the death certificate. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh. What about the autopsy?
The autopsy report, I had a conversation with the BCA. I got the BCA Bureau of Criminal Apprehension up on Maryland, St. Paul. I live in Charlotte, so I know the places up there. So I got them involved. So they called. She told me, this receptionist, I'm going to have an agent from that counter to call you back. So we set that up. Watch. They try to get a copy of the death certificate and autopsy, but they trying to push it back a little bit. But then on Thursday, he calls me and said, well, I'm about to switch over now. He calls me and said, you can watch the video of George who's on what's that watch. But then Friday morning, when I sent a representative of the family, one of my sisters, they called me back that Friday morning and said, you have to make a different appointment. And I said, that's not the conversation we had the day before. You know, every venue that we go to, it's always, they will make a statement about stuff. Then when the time comes, they back up off.
I see. Well, we are already reporting this evening from here on this program that the St. Paul NAACP in a closed meeting, and this was conveyed by a member of the NAACP who was in the meeting, have said that the family has agreed to, quote-unquote, a small settlement, and they're no longer interested in pursuing that. Is that your position, sir?
No, hang on for a second. No. I have eight brothers and sisters. And I'm the spokesman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first got wind on that from the NAACP, I told them, no, the brothers and sisters being set up for nothing. We want justice. We don't want no monetary compensation. We want justice. They're referring to the siblings of George.
Oh, so these are not the brothers and sisters of the deceased and yourself.
No.
This is another side of the family. I see. Do they have legal authority to convey to the sheriff that you should not be allowed to see the video because allegedly there's a video? Is it a video that shows the last moments of George's life?
Okay, I had a conversation today, and well, let's go back to Friday when I was talking to the sheriff on Thursday, and he called me on Friday morning because, you know, he don't answer the phone, so I had to keep on calling. So when I finally talked to the sheriff, he said, with the BCA, somebody coming to view the video at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I said, I'm going to send a representative to East Charlotte. I said, well, I'm going to send my sister. So when she wanted to go to view the video, called the number that I gave her, the contact number. They tell her, well, you have to make an appointment. So she calls me. I call them back. That's not what she told me. So then the sheriff called me Friday, last Friday, around about 5 or 6 o'clock. And these are his exact words, and it's very disturbing. The sheriff told me a certain member of my family does not want us to watch the video. And I'm like,
a certain member of your family? I mean, one of your brothers or sisters?
No, the certain member of his kids does not want me to watch the video. So I told the sheriff, I said, why not? We have a right. So then I got smart. So then I went over to the state. I gave him the statutes where I have the right. Then he said, well, all I'm going to say, what I should have asked him, what you mean by speaking the truth. So apparently, messing up Ron and Don, the sheriff in Walmart is listening to your show. And being that you're a public figure, Mr. Sheriff Dan, you have to provide for the community. You can't serve us. You're not no legal entity You are here to do your job. I want you to listen.
Let me ask you to hold your point. I need to ask the question of my associate. I'm trying to catch his attention. How bad is the reception that we're getting from Mr. Washington, Don, in your professional estimation?
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing I can do on the switchboard, so it's his connection.
That's what I thought.
So.
I'm explaining this to you, Mr. Donovan. You know, before I started having conversation with you, I never had no reception problems. I have conversations all day long on the phone. Sometimes it's wrong. Y'all supposed to be bad news for the black community, but y'all set it up for the black community. You know what I'm saying? So I know they're listening and they're doing their little thing, but it doesn't matter. Because you know what?
That is fascinating because we basically have never had any problem with anybody calling in either way because of the equipment that we have. I'm just amazed at the reception problem that we're having with your call. And what you said is absolutely correct. You didn't start having a problem with your phone until you and I started talking.
Right. And I had a conversation with people calling me. And say stuff. Don, Ron, I'm like, but they give me, you know, you guys are being honest. All my family is seeking is truth. If he died in America, that's cool. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, because the reception is even getting worse. Would you agree, Mr. Allen?
Hello?
I would agree. That's a little bit better, what you just did. I don't know.
What you just did is better. Yeah, so they must be getting embarrassed. But, now you're sounding a little bit better. So continue on and give us additional clarification.
So if he died of natural causes, I have no problem. But if you die from a heart attack in the middle of sleep, people need to be kind of moving around very far. But then when I asked that person, did you watch the video? She said, yeah, I did. We were talking about it before I called you. And I said, how long did it take 2 hours to watch, 3 hours? She said, it took a couple hours. How could he watch 5 hours?
Yeah, let us do this, Joseph, because I will give a narration because you and I have talked and et cetera. I would like to suggest that you may want to have one of your sisters call from what would be certainly a different number and have her give us the clarification. Because Mr. Allen and I are both in agreement that the reception is being tampered with. Are you? Do you concur, Mr. Allen?
Oh, yes, I agree 100%. I'm trying every little knob and switch I can click on here, and I can't get it. I can barely hear him.
I'm about to call you back.
Call us back.
1-6-7. I'm about to call you back.
All right. We'll start to certainly be standing back.
Hey, Mr. Edwards, quick question
before
you call us back.
We've been doing these programs for a number of years, and we have the kind of equipment. I've never seen a reception that was. We've had calls from Bangladesh and England, and Africa and et cetera. And I've never seen a reception that bad, but he is correct that since he and I really began to talk in terms of the role of the sheriff of Kandy, Ohio County, and the BCA, the reception off of his phone from the county is terrible.
That is really
terrible. Did you pick up a lot of what he said? Any questions you have that we may convey on to our audience? Hopefully he'll be able to get in.
I was just more interested in trying to hear him better because, I mean, I was just wondering about the video. Did someone actually see the video?
Yes, let me speak on that until we can get Joseph back or one of his sisters and brothers. Let me walk you through. He had negotiated, allegedly through the DCA, to be able to see this video, which was a video of the suicide cell that George Edward Washington had been placed in on the late evening of the 6th of January till the early afternoon of the 7th. Now,
and he's back with us,
submitted
by the way.
Maintain that the only thing that could be shown on the video would be the actual death of George Edward Washington, because one of the things that Joseph was saying, and it really got static, is that at some point in time, members of the other side of the family, particularly a person living in southwestern Minnesota, the information with regards to what happened in the sale could only have shown his actual death. Okay, but when you talk about the injuries that were reviewed in Sumner, South Carolina, when Joseph Washington brought that body back home there, et cetera, by professionals, was that George Edward Washington, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, and as I wrote in my newspaper column here in Minnesota Sports Recorder, his jaw was crushed, his nose was broken, the side of his head had been, you know, kicked in and et cetera. He had defensive wounds on his arms and other parts of his body. Now, at some point in time, a week ago, tomorrow, the sheriff and the BCA in a double telephone call called and said, well, we'll try to let you see the video, but one of the daughters of the deceased have said they don't want anybody from that side of the family seeing the video. Now, I leave that to you, how you would think about it in our listening audience. But allegedly they had reached an agreement. So he had a sister who lives here in the Twin Cities and a delegation just in case something happened to her as she drove up to Wilmer, to go to Wilmer. Early that morning, early Friday morning, the BCA's representative, an agent by the first name of Dustin, called and said that everything was off, that the so-called daughter of George Edward Washington had said that they did not want to have them view the tape. By the way, the tape would be almost 26 hours. See, no one had stopped to think about that because the tape is continuous, right? He was in that cell for 26 hours. An example, they said that they had gone into the cell at 1:30 on that Sunday afternoon. That's not true. Joseph Washington and myself have talked to two witnesses who were at the jail and who saw at around 12:15 or thereabouts, or even a little bit earlier, an ambulance pull up to the back door, and the already deceased George Edward Washington was taken out. Now, one of the things Joseph was not able to get in with the bad static, they have called the administrator at the hospital in Wilmer, Minnesota, about five times. He refuses to respond to their request. At least three members of the adult side of George Edward Washington's family have called and asked for consultation. Because that's where he was taken. He was taken from the jail to the hospital. The hospital did not want the body to be there. They transferred it to the Harvey Anderson funeral home. It was then transferred from there to Ramsey, Minnesota, to the Midwest Medical Examiner's Association. And they're really hot with us, by the way, Don. They're really ticked off that 3 weeks ago we identified and exposed them. They're the ones who are sitting on the autopsy, okay, and have told Mr. Washington that it could be as long as 7 or 8 weeks before they can get the autopsy, if they get it at all. The BCA, the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, last Friday told Mr. Washington that he was not entitled to the autopsy. Mr. Washington went, got the law books, the statutes of the state of Minnesota, which clearly indicated that they had, as the family of the deceased, had a right to the autopsy. Okay. Now, that does not speak to the death certificate in which the county clerk in Canty, Ohio County, the seat of the sheriff's department and jail, has refused to send a copy of the death certificate, even though a check was sent to pay for the death certificate. And so the BCA, Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the equivalency locally to the being the FBI are working hand in hand with the sheriff, along with, I hate to say it, individuals who say they are members of the Washington family. But none of them are the brothers and sisters of the deceased, as Mr. Joseph Washington is. So I want to get
Mr. Washington is back with us. He's back with us.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see if we can get him through. Joseph, we have you back. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I had to use a different telephone. I'm trying to look up.
Yes, I bet you did. I got you. Go ahead, sir.
What you were saying is correct. The BCA first confirmed that we can look at the video, and then they called me back on the morning of and told me the family don't have a right. So then I ran down some statutes to them to let them understand what rights a family, a brother, a sister have in, looking at the video. And then he just said, well, you have to make a different day for appointment to view the tape. And right now, as we stand, the sheriff, and I should have called him today, but I was on calls. Like I told you, I'll be on the phone all day long trying to.
Yes, no, I understand.
You know, get things.
You don't even need to explain that. Just go right ahead.
And sometime
so
I'm
the sheriff blocked you from. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the statute of Minnesota is 13.83, subsection 7, copy of the autopsy. You know, you know what I'm saying? I got these statutes here. I got 390.11, subsection 4. Gives me the right to have any kind of access to any kind of investigation you did about the death of my brother.
Yeah.
I sit up at night and I read their statutes. So, you know, I didn't explain that to him, but when I see him next week, because I am on my way in transit to Minnesota, the only reason why I didn't leave today because I wanted to be on the show. I can't drive and talk at the same time.
Yes, I understand. We appreciate it. We appreciate the consideration.
So now when I have a face to face conversation with you with the news media, then what you gonna say?
Right. Let me repeat this for our listening audience. We have you on the air with a much better volume. I talked to the reporter for the Star Tribune, who did the article of January 10th, 2018. He told me, and I made a suggestion, a recommendation to you 2 days ago. The reporter told me that the Star Tribune, had made a request under Minnesota law for all
information
and documents pertaining to the death of your brother.
Freedom
he
Information
tells
Act.
Me that the sheriff then told him that there was still an investigation going on, and that consequently he could not provide any documents, any information, and he really couldn't have any discussion. Okay. Now,
right.
I asked the Minneapolis Star Tribune and that reporter, John Henning, John Renda, to meet with you upon your arrival. He did not seem interested, but I intend to pursue that. Now, that also quickly takes us to the NAACP of Minnesota, particularly St. Paul, because they maintain that they had been told by some people representing themselves as members of your family, particularly a woman living in Marshall, Minnesota, as well as a couple living outside of Brainerd, that they were not authorizing any conversations, and that they were comfortable with all aspects of the investigation by the Canby, Ohio Sheriff's Office and the BCA. That was the statement made to me 2 days ago, gentlemen, by the reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and yet if I asked him if he was prepared to sit down with you and to at least make a copy of the request under the Freedom of Information Act, he said he was going to do a story way up in northern Minnesota. It probably wouldn't be back in a couple weeks.
Don, I'm,
now,
I'm, I mean, Ron,
go ahead, sir.
I'm gonna give you an analogy right now.
Okay.
The president does not speak for the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
That person that you're talking about does not speak for my siblings, my brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
We are steadfast in what we're trying to accomplish with my brother there.
Mm-hmm.
So on one side of the family, if you took money or you made an agreement with somebody, that's on you. The brothers and sisters ain't trying to get no agreement about nothing. We want reality check. We want you to be accountable for what you do. If you go out there and you speed or you run a red light, you have to be accountable because the cops are going to give you a ticket.
I want
these cops and these Klans members here, understand what I'm trying to say. These Klans members, now today, Klans in 2018 are not having no white robes. They have badges. They got robes behind the judge. They're prosecutors. They're BCAs. Dusty is part of the Klan.
And Dusty
I'm gonna say
is
that.
The BCA agent that you're talking about that I
right,
talked
right because
about.
You got a three two. You know what? Every number comes through my phone. I look at it. It's a 32320 number out of Wilmer. So you live up there. Y'all gonna protect each other. Y'all don't give
yeah.
a crap about black people. Y'all don't give a crap about
right.
Asians. You don't care about Muslims. You don't care about Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we stand by and watch a black man or a Muslim get killed or brutally beat down in jail and you don't care?
Right.
That's atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care. That's my brother. I love him. If he needed the air out of my lungs to survive, I would give that to him. I'm not fighting
mm-hmm.
for no money. My family fighting for justice.
Well, we have clearly cleared up the misunderstanding of the St. Paul and state NAACP, who say that they were told that the family had reached an agreement and had no interest in pursuing. And I'm so glad that we have been able to access you to clarify and clear the air. And of course, you have certainly indicated to them that you're on your way here. By the way, I understand that the person that we're talking about in southwestern Minnesota has disappeared and has possibly left the state.
talking about our witness?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about,
Oh, no. That came about, I had a conversation with that person today, and they...
Okay.
Yeah, right before I called you, I was on a call with that person, and I was on a conference call with my family before I got on. My family, listen, I have brothers and sisters, but
yeah.
we had a conference. You know, I tell you that when I talk to people, I always debrief my family,
mm-hmm.
and she made up some excuses like she did before when I called her, Friday or Thursday?
You know,
I'm watching a good movie, Call Me Back, and I'm talking about your dad.
That was Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was supposed
yeah.
to call you back Friday morning. Yeah. At 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Because
mm-hmm.
I was trying to talk
mm-hmm.
to her. Yeah, you're right. Thursday when I called her and I was talking
mm-hmm.
to her, and she said, I'm watching a
mm-hmm.
good movie and all this other stuff. But you make up excuses, but I'm talking about your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, I don't care about $1 million or $2. I'm going to tell you one thing that George always told me. George is tell the family all the time, all his brothers and sisters, I would not
mm-hmm.
sell you for $1 million, but I'll sell you for a dollar. That's how much love he had for us.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I got you. Let me do this at this time, sir. Mr. Allen, sir, do you have any questions of Mr. Washington? Don's offline. Anything else
okay,
that you
this,
have?
Okay, this is what I want to say about the NAACP.
Okay, I'm back. I apologize.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this about the NAACP. I called them,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to them. I called them several times, and then finally I got a recall back, and you was correct about they were saying the last name was Benz, I think it was.
Yeah,
and
Diane
we had a
Benz.
Conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Diane Benz,
right.
we had a conversation, and we went through some stuff, and then I said, I want you, she sent me an article about what you've written in the Spokes Recorder.
Yes, okay.
And she
mm-hmm.
said, you need to look this over and get back to me, so I look it over, and I said, one thing was
one thing was not correct, but I'll explain that later. And I said, well, you sent it off to the Star and Tribune and Rex Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
So I also sent it to Rex Chapman and Star Tribune because I was Googling the big boy in the Star Tribune. He never got back to me. Rex Chapman, I texted him and asked him what his email
was.
Rex
Chapman is with WCCO.
WCCO, yeah.
TV station,
yeah,
WCCO,
I remember, yeah. So I remember him from when I was living up there. So then I sent him, he asked me, who is this? And I explained it to him, and I sent him the article.
Mm-hmm.
I said, give you a couple hours or a day to look it over. He never got back to me. But the thing is, you know what? You can text people all the time. You can talk to them on the phone. But when I get up there, I'm going to have a face-to-face meeting with all these individuals from the NAACP, from NPR Radio, from KMOJ, any outlet that I can use to further to keep this in the spotlight. Because a murder have occurred. A murder have occurred. Not no dying in your sleep. A murder, a brutal murder have occurred. And we want some answers.
Absolutely.
A black man in America, if a dollar is worth 100 pennies, a black man in America is worth 2 cents. And all of all the listeners worldwide, you need to understand this. Just like I said before, if you don't stand up for what you're seeing brutalized going on with America today, from non-whites, that same violence will come to your home and visit you. And then you want everybody to run around you and cuddle you and console you. If you don't stand up
for rally to your flag. Rally to your flag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The flag. No, I'm not going to get on the flag. I understand the flag. The flag does not represent us. You know what the stripes and the white pieces and the red pieces mean? It does not represent us. That's a whole nother history lesson. These statues that was made back in the days was keep us in bondage to have us as property. George was not a property of white folks, of slave owners, of plantations. He was not. He was a man. Now, Mr. Edwards, you understand because you're much older like my father. You understand what's going on in America today.
Oh, yeah.
We have dialect all the time. When you resisting against the system of Jim Crow in 2018, you become an enemy. Ron and Don, I'm letting you know, you're the enemy. When I come up there, they don't know when I'm coming or what I'm driving because I'm coming.
I
got you.
Enough said. I understand.
We speak out.
I understand what you're saying.
We speak out. And like I said before, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Ron and Don, for giving me a venue. And I'm going to stay in contact with you guys.
All right.
Because until justice prevail, that's when I stop fighting for George and fight for other people that have been brutalized the same way.
Right.
No black man in America should be brutalized the same way. And y'all have a good evening.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, sir. And we'll be in contact. Thank you. Okay.
All right. All right, bye.
Well, Mr. Allen, we got 5 minutes left. Give me your take because that really was a very powerful analysis by a man who is seeking justice on behalf of his brother who was beaten to death in the county jail in Canandaigua, Ohio, Minnesota. Do you think our organizations will do anything, Don? What do you think? We're down to what, last 4 minutes? You still there, Don?
Yeah, Mr. Edwards. We have 49 seconds left. So.
Oh well, then it's we're all through then. Okay. So, anyways, we appreciate the opportunity to talk with the brother of the deceased, and I'm quite sure we'll be hearing from him again. And so, Don, why don't you let James Brown or somebody take us on home, man? Take care.
Okay.
Think for ourselves. We're tired of beating our head against the wall.